You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, Stevie Weeby here. Thanks for checking out the audio format of the show. You're about to listen to the Summer Glau episode. I was really excited for this one. Summer's been in so many different shows such as Firefly, Arrow, and she was even a Terminator in the Sarah Connor Chronicles. So thanks for tuning in and enjoy.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of the Stevie Weeby Show. This episode is sponsored by Scentbird. We have a very special guest today. Please welcome actress Summer Glau.
That's the longest my last name has ever been.
Do you like that?
I like it.
I'm nervous. I never get nervous, but I think you are. I'm not trying to like gas you up that much, but I think you are one of the biggest actresses ever to come through the Stevie Weeby Show.
It's an honor.
I think you are. Can you think of anyone else, Craig?
No, she's the biggest.
I think you've been on the most. I mean, you've been on the most shows, right? I don't think, because you've been on several shows.
Through the years.
Mm-hmm. And I just met your family. I love your husband's gold teeth.
Thank you.
How did that come about?
Thank you. Oh, man, it's a long story. My husband's been through some stuff.
Like, what do you mean? Like, what kind of stuff? You don't have to. We don't have to get into it.
Where to begin?
Just, you could be
he
vague.
Should be on the podcast. No, he's been through a lot. He's had some dental damage due to circumstances in his life, and
root canals,
and anyway,
yeah,
he was really a health decision, but now it's turned into a fashion statement.
Oh my
actually
God.
we were having lunch yesterday with the girls, mm-hmm. and a young man tattoos all over chased us out of the restaurant and said, your husband's teeth. And I was like, oh no,
and
he's like, I gotta get some of those, man. Where'd he get it done? We're like, this is medical, but okay.
I can't lie, I was jealous. I can't lie to you, when he smiled, I was like,
smile.
I was jealous. I was like, what, those are the coolest things I've ever seen in my life.
They are pretty cool.
They're
cool. I wouldn't recognize him without it. I've gotten used to it. It took a little bit, and he did it a little at a time because it was a health thing. You know, mm-hmm. he's had some It's been a journey, and he has the most incredible eccentric dentist out here in LA.
Oh, so the dentist,
Dr. Asdare.
Shout out to Dr. Asdare in Beverly Hills, is Beverly Hills or West Hollywood?
He has a Beverly Hills office, but we went out to Alhambra. He has like an old school. He doesn't have any Wi-Fi. He has this old school radio that he would play for us, and Val got tested for all of the. All of the materials that they used because he was really sensitive to the materials that were in his mouth before.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it was a really long process, and now he's feeling so much better because your teeth correlate to different organs in your body.
Right. There's nerves and
it's connected
to every a lot of vital parts of your body.
Exactly. Yeah. So it was really interesting. It's really helped.
It's amazing. Have you heard of Paul Wall, the rapper from Houston? He's a white rapper, but
really?
I'll make the long story short. Paul Wall is a white, he's a rapper, but his side hustle is gold fronts. So there's a bunch of people in the rap scene that will pay like top dollar just for the fronts. And you know, your husband's got they're really his teeth. Yeah. We'll get off his
Canadian
teeth.
Gold.
Yeah. But because this interview is not about him.
High
it's
quality.
About you. Oh. Summer Glau is in the house. Where did you grow up? We heard that you were a dancer when you were younger. Is that correct?
That's true.
Okay.
I'm a far more qualified ballet dancer than I am an actor, but
mm-hmm.
things took a turn. I'm from Texas. I'm from Central Texas.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
And you grew up elementary school, high school, like throughout your whole
Yes, but I didn't go to school. I was homeschooled.
What?
Because I was dancing. So My mom was a teacher,
mm-hmm.
and then once she'd had the three of us, she really wanted to kind of cater to each of our strengths, and so she homeschooled us for a number of years, and then my sisters went off to a smart school. And
oh wow!
I didn't get in. No,
yeah,
I was still dancing, and mm-hmm. I was teaching dance too. I actually also taught these Junior Olympic girls. I was their ballet coach.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. In high school.
Olympics? They went to the Olympics.
Yeah.
That's a big deal.
Yeah. Very, very.
So you had a passion for
I loved ballet because I was pretty quiet and pretty serious.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it really suited me because when you're on stage, you kind of feel like you're alone and you feel a little bit isolated because you can't see. People are there and you know they're watching, but you don't really have to interact.
Right.
But you feel like they're listening. Like mm-hmm. they're paying attention. And I love the music and I love the drama and the romance of it. And
oh, yes.
Yeah.
What's your favorite aspect of ballet? Like what comes to mind?
I love the music.
Yeah.
I love the satin shoes.
Yeah.
I have piles and piles of shoes still left from
dancing days. It's a classy, graceful dance.
It's beautiful. It's refined. It's ethereal, but it's also pretty. It's pretty gritty. Painful.
You said gritty.
Gritty.
In what ways is it gritty? I was thinking.
I had friends who there's so many issues that come with being a dancer. You mm-hmm. have to be very, very disciplined. Mm-hmm. The physical parameters are really intensive. And when you're watching ballet, it looks so effortless and so gentle. And yet what's underneath is pretty hardcore.
I respect that to the fullest. I mean, I cringe at just how y'all could use your your toes and extend them all the way, like the joints.
Yes.
Like the ballerina toes. Like,
yes.
How do you learn to do that?
Well, I think they put me in point shoes too early because I was only 10 and my feet were still, I was still growing. And I remember going to the doctor because I was having pain, mm-hmm. obviously. And he said, "You have arthritis. You're 10 and you have arthritis."
At 10 years old?
Yes. And I probably should have waited a little longer. And then, I had a friend who the pressure would build up so much in her mm-hmm. toes that she would have to drill holes in her toenails.
Get out of town.
To alleviate the pressure. But you can't see that. What you're seeing is, you know, this calm visage, this, you know, ethereal light, lighter than air movement, but underneath it's pretty
painful.
Gritty.
It's painful.
Yeah, it is.
When you're starting out as a young ballerina, what's like every ballerina's like goal? Like, is it like Broadway? Like, what's the top, like the top position you could get doing that?
Well, I wanted to be in the Royal Ballet in England. I loved Viviana Durante and Darcy Bustle, and I loved the Houston Ballet. I would go there sometimes and see those ballerinas. It's one of the best ballet companies in the U.S. for sure. But
the one in Houston?
Mm-hmm. Houston Ballet. And I don't know. I wanted to do the classic story ballets. That's what I really liked. You know, Giselle and and Swan Lake and Sleeping Beauty.
Oh my goodness! Yeah,
the Tchaikovsky of it all. And I, you know, in South Texas though, there's not much of a demand for the big story ballets.
So, and you said South Texas?
Yeah, kind of like central, kind of in the Hill Country, San Antonio.
Oh right. I've never been anywhere in Texas, and I would love to go anywhere in Texas.
Yes, Texas would love to have you.
So you grew up around people who chewed tobacco?
Yes.
Because I just started this, but I have chewed for like since the 90s. I don't want to show
Let me see.
Do you see how dark it is right here?
Just a little.
So, but you're used to seeing that, like,
growing
up in Texas, right?
Yes, and the different strategies of how they deal with the, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you ever date a boy who, like in high school, who chewed, like, tobacco?
No. Okay. No, but, you know, I'm naturally very drawn to cowboys. I kind of wanted to be a cowboy. Mm-hmm. I love country music, but I've never really... I liked a guy who smoked cigarettes, but that's as far as it really went.
Right. Yeah. What do you you said you like country?
I do.
Can I ask you just a trivial question?
Okay.
Is Lil Nas Jr., the rapper, is that country? The Old Town, you know, take you to the Old Town Road.
Lil Nas is new to me. I'm going to check it out.
Yeah. Well, it was a rapper who made a country song, or country rap. A country rap song.
I like that.
It's Lil Nas Jr., right? And Billy Ray Cyrus.
Oh.
But there was a lot of controversy because the country, I guess, the people in that community didn't consider it country. So what makes a country song really country? Is it the subject matter? Like, you have to talk about a certain thing? Because you grew up in Texas. So.
Yes. Well, I guess the sound is kind of like when it sounds like country, you know it. And I think kind of the subject matter, like you said, and the storytelling.
Oh, it's got to be storytelling.
Yeah.
So what are the three main themes in country?
You gotta have a broken heart.
Gotta have a broken heart.
There's gotta be some drinking involved.
Drinking involved.
And it doesn't hurt if there's a tractor.
A tractor or a truck?
Trucks, yes.
So a truck or tractor. Drinking's involved.
And, you know, possibly together because it's just country roads, so you don't really have to worry about it. You know, there's always a beer in the console or whatever.
Yeah. What about meeting the gal at the bar or, you know what I mean? That's involved too, right?
Sometimes you dance, but more often than not, you know, something goes wrong and that's when you write the song.
Okay, fair enough. I'm Korean American. Are there Koreans where you grew up? Are there Koreans there, or is it pretty diverse?
You know, it's fairly diverse. I mean, where in particular where my sisters went to school, there, you know, there were a lot of high achievers, and it was very multicultural.
Okay, so there were Koreans and Chinese and Hispanic.
Yes.
And
yes.
Just all around. Okay. Definitely. I've never been there. I thought it was mostly just, I was guessing because, I don't know, this is so stupid. I thought it was mostly white people and like Hispanics, you know?
Well, Alamo, San Antonio is 60%. Last I heard, don't quote me.
Yeah.
I'm sure it changes, but like 60% Hispanic.
Okay, that's what's up. Okay. We're gonna go. This is actually really. It's going by smoother than I thought. We're good on the 10 minutes. We're good on the 10. Okay. Let me ask you this one, number two. I want to get, because he spent a lot of time writing these for you. How?
Thanks, Craig.
How did you get the role of River Tam in Firefly?
Well, I came out to LA and I was still a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I was doing full time.
Mm-hmm.
I was cast in an episode of Angel, which was one of Joss Whedon's other shows.
Shout out to Joss Whedon.
Where I played a ballerina and I got to dance Giselle on TV, which Amazing. I never got to do in real life, which is just, I felt like such a cheater.
Oh my goodness.
And at that time, he cast me without seeing me dance and didn't know that I was a much better dancer than actor.
Oh.
So I was really lucky that I ended up meeting him and working with him. And at the time, he was writing Firefly. And so I never auditioned for a series regular or anything. I mean, I was just getting started. And he said, you should come audition for that role. And there were only 2 pages of dialogue. There was no script. I didn't know much about the world.
Yeah.
That it was going to be. And it was just such the right role for me.
Right. It was almost a perfect role for you.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but don't you need representation as far as an agent or a manager to get to that point?
I had this because I, when I was still in San Antonio,
yeah,
there was a management company that came through and they were meeting with people and I did a monologue and I got a headshot and everything. And then they said, when you come out to LA, we'll represent you and see if you can act.
Wow. That's great.
They just told me that I needed to cut my hair to be more hip and trendy.
Really?
So, cause I had the ballerina hair.
Oh, wow.
So I just looked in the mirror and I just chopped it off myself and. Right. I was hip and trendy.
Yeah. So, but you, right when you came, you were out the gate, like,
yes, and I
rolling.
Booked a commercial the first month I was here. And you know what was so weird? I've never told anybody, but in the audition was Winnie Cooper. I was sitting at Danica McKellar.
Oh, Wonder Years, Winnie. Oh, okay. Yes. Just okay. I know now.
And you know, people had always told me how similar we were, and I was in the audition with her, and I thought, oh my gosh, I'm really in Hollywood.
Yeah.
And so I got the commercial, but then I went back to Texas and tried to go back to the ballet company.
But wait, what did you get the commercial? What kind of commercial was it?
It was a regional Bell South commercial. Phone company. I was playing a young engaged girl planning mm-hmm. my wedding, and it was really fun. They misspelled my name on the door to the trailer.
Yeah,
they called me Summer Glow with a
no, it's Glow.
A-W.
It's GLAU Glow.
I thought Glow looks a little bit sort of like I'm doing a different sort of job.
Yeah,
but anyway. They fixed it. They put a little tape over it. And they fixed it for me.
This is my own curiosity. Okay, this is a word to, from our sponsor now. So our sponsor for this episode is Scentbird, SCENTBIRD.com. Scentbird is a luxury fragrance subscription service. Did you want to smell one of these? Here.
Absolutely.
Here, oh, wow. Just you don't have to spray it, but file. So this is, they have 120 sprays available. You get a monthly subscription and you have access to over 120 sprays. So they send it in these little cute things.
I love that. This is such
a you want to try
idea.
This and then and this is, let me see. That's another one. So
it's great because
it's designed, there's designer brands. So there's anywhere from Hugo Boss to Clinique to Dolce and Gabbana to, I think Mercedes. Did you know Mercedes-Benz has a cologne and perfume? You could get Mercedes-Benz if you want.
No, I'm curious.
So please go to scentbird.com and use the code Stebee, STEEBEE for 50% off your first month. Today, that's only $7.50 for your first fragrance. Go to scentbird.com and use the promo code Stebee, just like the Stebee Weeby Show. And back to summer. I'm curious because I took a crack at commercials early 2000. I did a Sour Starburst commercial.
Oh, that's and tremendous.
I had to beat out these other Asian kids. And so the final audition, they are feeding us lemons in front of the Vista Theater there in Silver Lake. So to make the, you know, to put, you know, and I was, yeah. It was not fun. Did you have to like go to
hardcore.
Like, yeah, it's like competition, right?
It is. It is. And I feel like with commercials, it has so much to do with the look. You got to
or
the
facial
look.
Expression or like, yeah.
Yeah. It's very interesting. It's its own category of acting. And I have a lot of respect for people that, and do you see that like when you're watching TV that there are certain commercial actors that just keep getting commercials because they're so good at it?
Well, so you're saying you can make a career out of commercial acting?
Absolutely. Sure. Yeah.
I mean, look at the Verizon guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's if you do a campaign.
Campaign, sure.
Yeah.
But there are certain actors who they will move from product to product.
That's crazy.
And they just keep getting hired because they're really good at it.
Right.
I think you have to really condense a feeling or an idea. You have to be really good at kind of like packaging it and making it fast and really selling a point.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are good at that.
You know, my brother did commercials too before he did his sketch shows or whatever. But you know what he said his secret was? Glasses. He didn't even need glasses. But he's like, dude, you get these, you'll book everything, bro. And I'm like, no, I don't need to do... But he did like...
It worked.
He's probably done almost close to 50 commercials or something crazy. But can you explain to the viewers and the listeners what a callback is?
A callback is when you... Well, in my experience, you go to the first audition,
mm-hmm.
whether you get invited to it or you find the address and you help yourself to the audition. And you read for the casting directors. Mm-hmm. Usually it's just the casting directors in the room. And then if they think you did something right, they'll invite you to come back. And that's the call back where you'll meet more people involved mm-hmm. in the project. Mm-hmm. Maybe the producers, maybe the writer, maybe the director.
Yeah. How did you, because you've booked a lot of stuff. How do you cope with the nerves, like making it to the last audition? Like what do you do mentally to prepare yourself to go in like for the third round, the fourth round, the fifth round, and you know you're getting closer to booking this role? Like how do you mentally prepare yourself?
Drink. No. drinking. No. You there's all different kinds of techniques that you utilize, I think.
That you personally do.
Yes.
Give us an
all
example.
Different kinds mm-hmm. of things. So for me, like maybe I bring something with me from home, something secret and hold on to it. You know, as I'm waiting, sometimes the more callbacks you get, the longer and longer the waits are because there's more and more people in the room who are discussing you and sometimes you can hear.
Oh no.
So you're sitting there with people who you probably know because you tend to see the same people in auditions. Or you just know them from other shows. And so you're sitting there in the waiting room and, you know, you really feel for everyone and you feel for yourself. And, so yeah, one thing I used to do is bring something with me that was like something comforting or, you listen to music. Some people
right.
listen to music, so they stay in the zone. It depends on yeah. the role. Wow. Sometimes you would need to do that more than other times.
Yeah.
And some people will not sit in the waiting room. Some people will wait outside and wait to be called in. I've done that before too.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Did you ever have like your rival, like where you saw this? You know what I mean? Like you had your.
Yeah. yes, there are certain people who I would see getting jobs that I had gotten close on. Over and over again, but really I can't, not one person comes to mind at the moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, for
but
sure.
You remember their faces.
You know, I think it used to happen more often though when there were fewer shows. You know, when I started doing TV, there you had to watch what was on when it was on. There was no Netflix, there was no Hulu, there were you could even list what shows were on.
Oh,
you
wow.
could say, well, you know, this season it's these 10 shows. Well, now there's 7,000 shows. So there's so many more actors and so many more ways to get hired. But it used to be you'd see the same people over and over again.
God, That's a small world there. Yeah, it's changed a lot. Ooh, that's an interesting question. How has it changed because of technology and all these platforms now? Like, how are things changed now? Is it different?
Oh, so different. Like, so different.
Like auditioning or jobs?
Well, I used to have to drive down to my agency here in Hollywood. I used to have to drive down to the agency to pick up my scripts and my audition sides. And sometimes you would have to do it several times a day, especially, you know, during the heavy pilot seasons. Now I feel like pilot season is kind of not a thing anymore because shows are on year round and they're making new shows constantly. Mm-hmm. But it used to be when I first started that you had to drive down and get your script and sides. Crazy. And I was one of the last people to get a computer. I was very suspicious.
Yeah.
Of the computer, so I didn't have one for the longest time, and I didn't have a cell phone, and my manager was like, I am not your friend that you can decide if you want to call back or not. When I call you, you need to answer. Wow. And so I got a cell phone, and and now, you know, you can do everything digitally.
Even the LA casting sites.
They're always emailing me.
Yeah.
You know what else is weird is you can audition on on the computer.
That's crazy.
I don't even live in LA anymore because I can do it from Texas.
So you can have your whole reel on there?
Well, yes, that's on there too, like all of your stuff.
But you could record
tape your audition.
You could record your audition,
mm-hmm,
and just submit, email them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a huge thing. Change. Yeah,
it's really changed since I started.
Because I want to get to all of the things, like, or most of the things that you've been on. What was it like filming for Serenity and finishing Firefly as a movie?
It was wonderful. It was incredible to see that the fans had the power to revive a show that barely was on TV and turn it into a movie, because they refused to let it be the end. It was, I don't know if you've ever heard of Firefly, but
no, we definitely have a Craig. Yeah, he brought me up to.
Thanks, Craig.
Yeah,
it's so Firefly was only on 13 episodes and hardly anybody saw it, but the people that did see it really, really loved it, and they loved it so much that they wanted it to keep going, and so Universal turned it into a feature. And in the feature, I did martial arts.
That's awesome.
And so I learned how to do the martial arts myself.
What form? Taekwondo, kung fu, what kind? Or just kicking too?
I did a lot of kicking
because I was
a
ballet
dancer. No, Joss had me meet with Chad Stahelski, who was the stunt coordinator.
Oh, wow.
Genius.
Yeah, I bet.
Genius guy from the Matrix movies. And
I was just thinking of the Matrix. Oh, I'm like, was he doing the Matrix?
Did he do
the
Keanu's, Matrix? I'm a fan of that. He's a legend.
Yeah.
Scary, but he's a legend. And so he watched me do some different movements to kind of see how to work with the dancer, you know, what he could create to make it look like I was actually dangerous.
Wow.
Because Joss wanted me to, you know, take out rooms full of burly guys. So, he created this style for me that I think was, what they said was it was wushu.
Okay.
Kung fu.
Oh, wow. It sounds
and
Chinese.
Kickboxing.
Yeah. That's cool stuff.
It was very cool.
Yeah,
I wanted to run out of the gym, like, twice every day, but I worked hard on it, and they let me do it myself, which is so rare, because a lot of times when I've been on TV shows, they're like, you just did a fight scene, you were in your trailer, but you just did I got to do it myself, and I'm glad. But I went back to ballet after that.
You were also you were a Terminator. You were Allison Young in Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Yes.
What was it Cameron like being a cyborg? Like, you were a Terminator. Not a lot of people could say that. Like, they were a Terminator. Like, you
it's
know?
Weird. I when I first wanted to be an actress, I wanted to do Jane Austen movies, and things took a turn.
Mm-hmm.
And I almost didn't go to that audition.
Oh my God.
Because I I was casting it in my mind, and I thought, I'm just not right for this. This is, you know, they need somebody statuesque and, you know, really stunning and, you know, strong. And I'm kind of, you know, gangly and a little awkward, kind of funky. And so I thought, no, I'm not going to go. And I got there, and I saw that Josh Friedman was in the room. I didn't know that he had written it. I'm a big fan of his work. And he just really inspired me. And I loved his idea for going as far away from Arnold Schwarzenegger as possible.
Oh, because he was
a girl.
Right.
Who was going to, in order, because her job was to be the bodyguard for John Connor. But yeah, Connor was a teenager.
So, I know the story.
So
yeah, I know, because I'm a fan of all the Terminators. Even even Furlong. Remember Furlong? He was in two. He was in the second one. Edward Furlong.
Oh yes. Yeah. He's wonderful. But, who didn't have a crush on him? Oh, wow.
I mean, we all did too. Me and Craig did too.
I understand. Yeah,
I miss seeing him around.
I had a picture of him in my closet.
You did growing up in Texas?
Yeah.
He was a stunner.
He was just so, there was so much going on. You just wanted to
just
save him. You wondered what's going on.
He's so handsome.
So, yes, brooding.
You got a handsome one though. You got a looker there.
Yeah, I sure did.
That is so impressive. You were on the poster, like.
I was on, yes, yeah, I was
like
in
you had the wires hanging out and the,
yes, yeah. It was funny, you know, when they showed me the ideas that they had for the you know, the campaigns, they showed me that shot and I was like, no, we can't do that. And they were like, oh, you know, it's just one of many. And I went home to Texas for Christmas, and then I came back and that billboard was all over LA.
Yeah.
I was like, but now, you know, I look back at it and I'm like, that was so cool that I got to do that. That was pretty. I loved playing a Terminator. I loved it.
What was the most exciting part about it? Playing a cyborg, basically.
I think trying to find ways to relate to her and care about her, because she was a killing machine and she was really dangerous. But because she was trying to fit in high school, which is, I think, hard for anybody.
For a cyborg, too.
Yeah, it's hard for a cyborg, yeah, too. She just wanted to fit in, and she wanted to, she really, really wanted, she was, I felt like she cared about her job, you know, because she was created to keep him safe. Mm-hmm. And it became sort of like, I wanted to play it as if she became like an obsessive girlfriend.
Yeah.
But deadly.
Yeah.
She loved him, and you kind of felt for her, but then you were scared of her, too. So it was fun.
This is out of my curiosity. How long did hair and makeup take every day? Like the day?
Oh, it could take longer hours.
Since you were a cyborg?
Yeah. Well, it depended on the day, because sometimes I was just going to school, and then other days I was, you know, getting shot at, and so it would take hours. And you know, I remember just, you know, you'd fall asleep in the makeup trailer.
Mm-hmm.
And one weekend they forgot to unglue my ears. My ears were glued down. So I had to just spend the whole weekend with my ears glued down.
Oh my God.
But it was fun, and it really did help me, you know, get into character.
Yeah.
It was like genius.
Amazing. I mean, that's not a lot of people could say that at all. Like, that they were a Terminator. How many auditions did you have to go through to get that part?
That one was pretty fast. I think it was only really three auditions.
Three?
Well, I auditioned for Josh and James Middleton and casting. And then I think after that, I went to the first testing session, because you go to studio and then you go to network. I don't really understand how all that works.
Yeah.
It's just a lot of smart people that are not actors who have to watch you and decide. So studio and then network. And remember, what did Thomas said to me? Thomas was like, Thomas who played John Connor.
Mm-hmm.
There were some other really beautiful girls auditioning for the role that I would have thought would have fit in better for the character. And he was like, after I got cast before the John Connor role did, which was so unusual, because usually they cast the guys first.
Yeah.
Gotta be honest about that.
But that says something. They were so set on you. They're like, we need her as the Terminator.
I think they felt like I had sort of something that they liked. So
yeah.
And Thomas goes, wow, you know, they went with you. You know, they had blondes, big boobs, the whole package, but they went with you.
How did that make you feel? You beat all them girls out.
I did.
I gotta give you a pound Thanks. For that. Good job on that.
Thanks.
Yeah.
You could have had the whole package. Yeah. They went with me.
Now, what did you tell your, how did you break the news to your folks?
Well, they were, my dad was a little bit taken aback that I had not seen the Terminator movies before I got cast. Yeah. When I got the audition, I thought, no, Wait. Better not watch it. Because I knew what Terminator was.
Yeah.
It's in our blood as Americans. We know that.
I mean, Terminator, it's like what's another movie? It's like Aliens or
exactly.
Superman or, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
It's ingrained in us.
That's right. So I knew.
Yeah.
But then after I got the role, I went home and we watched all three.
You watched all of them?
Yeah.
What was your favorite one? What was your favorite ones out of like those?
The first one.
The first. Why the first one?
I don't know. I mean, maybe because of Linda, because of the way that she, the way that she told the story. I was captivated by her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Arnold was awesome too, though.
He was.
Remember the scene where he's naked in the parking lot? Remember that? And there's like that lightning, and then he's like, you could see like the side of his thigh. Yeah.
One of a kind.
That was amazing. And then like, just like, it's nostalgic because of the leather jacket. Oh, remember how he went into the bar and the biker
yes.
guy? He like just took the biker's jacket and then took his motorcycle.
I remember.
So cool.
That's
just amazing.
So cool.
That you, oh my God, that's crazy.
It was weird.
How are you going to tell your kids? Your kids are going to bug out when they get older. Like,
I don't know.
They're gonna
I don't
like,
know. You're
right. Because they're going to look up your work too, as well, right?
Well, by accident, we were I was out of town doing a convention, you mm-hmm. know, a fan convention.
Yeah, you mean fans I want to get sci-fi. Into that. I want to get into that also.
Yeah. There's so much to say. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So I was working, and Val had the girls in mm-hmm. the hotel room, and he was, you know, flipping through trying to find something, you know, to occupy them while he made their lunch or whatever. God mm-hmm. bless him. He's amazing keeping
the
girls busy.
Oh, yeah, that was amazing. Amazing.
He's incredible at that. But anyway, he flipped through, and who did they see? Mama killing zombies on TV, because it was the Reaver fight from Serenity where I killed. There's like space zombies mm-hmm, who mm-hmm, are mm-hmm. you know they eat people, and we had decided we weren't going to show her anything except maybe my Hallmark Christmas movie.
Wait, you did a Hallmark Christmas movie?
Yes.
Good for you.
I played Santa's elf, and it was really
That's
fun.
That's amazing.
Closest to my real personality, according to my family.
You played an elf?
Yes.
That's amazing.
Yes, it was really fun. I didn't
oh
want it to end.
God.
I loved it. It was really sweet.
Yeah.
And you know, growing up, you love those Hallmark shows. And I did
oh
a Lifetime
God.
Movie because
you did a lie. You did what didn't you do? You've done everything.
I know there's so much. I still want to, but I've been really lucky. If you kind of put it in there and you just say
no, it's not luck. I don't. No, if you book, if you keep booking, it's not luck.
Thank you.
No, it's not. You know what I'm saying? Maybe you know you've done a variety of different projects.
I've done some different things. I got to do a Western too.
You did a Western as well.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
So anyway, yeah, I don't know what I was talking about. Anyway, yeah, mm-hmm. she saw the fight, mm-hmm. and she said, "Mommy, I want to be an actress, and I want to kill zombies." And I was like, "How do you know about zombies? We haven't told you about zombies." She's four. But anyway, things happen.
Well, I just met her. I mean, the oldest one,
yes.
and I knew just within 2 minutes, like the stuff she's so smart.
So smart.
Because I was joking around. I said I said she could have my piano. And then right when she was leaving, she goes, we got to figure out how to get the piano out of there. And then she
yes.
Then she looked at me like she was like calling my bluff.
Right.
She's like, we got to figure out how to get the piano. And then she turned around. And
she was checking
it scared,
your eyes.
It scared
she was
me. I was like, she could see. She saw through me.
I know. Oh, guys. Okay, so here's the problem, though.
She's a special kid. I'm just
she
letting
is.
You know, she's special.
She is. People
yeah.
say that to us. I don't yeah. know how. She came that way. She came out that
She
way.
Came out that smart?
Yes.
Like
with
Einstein?
The eyes, when she was a baby, she, you know, she was a really small baby, bald for a long time with the big eye, with these big eyes. And she would look at people and people would say, oh, she's looking through. Like, she sees my thoughts.
Yeah. That's what I got when, because I, you know, and then, and there's no BS. Because remember, because shout out to Bark Socks.
Yay!
These are the socks they sent. We gave some to your girls. And she was, you know, because like when you get older, you learn how to lie.
Yes.
But your daughter was honest. She goes, yeah, these won't fit me. But thanks.
That's such a...
But she was honest about it.
Right.
Yeah.
That's one tricky thing about being a parent is that, you know, you take them into the world and you want the world to accept them and you want them to... You want them to be liked and you want them to be polite and you, but you don't know what's going to come out of their mouth. Like, you can't control it.
Cause it's not, they're so pure.
There's no filter.
They're so pure and you know, it's more, it's real.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it is real. More, imagine if adults were like that.
I guess we should. I'm
if
scared.
Adults were like your daughter, there'd be no war. Everyone would just, you know what I mean? Yeah, they could talk it out, be real.
I know.
Cause when you get older, you get all these. We get conditioned to like, I can't say this because this might affect this. Mm-hmm. If I say this, it'll, you know, but kids are so honest.
Very honest. Yes, it's an interesting thing for me to observe and navigate, you know, because I want her to, like, looking back at myself now, I think, wow, there were so many things that I didn't feel safe to say. And, you know, I'm from Texas where you got to be polite. Like,
oh, is that the Texas way?
Oh, I think so. I mean, that's you want people to feel comfortable being around you, and in Hollywood, there's a lot of navigating.
Like, no, not that. Only that, it's like a lot of fake. You know?
Yeah.
Hey, how you doing there, buddy? Here's my business card. Yeah, working on the project. Right. No, I got you. I got a role for you. You know, it's just like all this schmoozing.
It's
and
true.
BS.
It's so true.
Yeah. I mean, how? Did you notice that when you start, like when you actually moved out here? Cause you know, you said in Texas, people are different, but did you notice how the people here are different as well? As far as networking and all that?
Definitely. There's definitely a lot of strategizing and a lot of, you know, what I noticed too, is that when people are talking to you, they're kind of scanning behind your head too, to see who else is in the room or, you know, there's a lot of scanning, like sort of looking at you, sort of
but
also not really listening, and a lot of repeating themselves and stuff.
Yeah,
and the retelling of stories. Yeah,
or the one thing I noticed when I came out here from Arizona.
Oh,
I was in, you know, my parents are in Gilbert. I went to Arizona State. My brother was already acting out here doing comedy, and then I remember I went to a Thai restaurant, like I think one of these Thai restaurants. Mm-hmm. And this is the first, because there's a lot of different people there, and they're like, so, Steve, what do you do?
What do you do? I have consciously stopped saying that to people.
I got defensive.
Oh, I understand. Because
I'm not used to people talking like, well, so, what do you do? What brings you out here?
What brings you out here?
Yeah, what do you do? And I hated that. I mean, in my mind, I'm like, what the fuck do you mean, what do I do?
I know. I breathe. I'm a human being.
Yeah, I didn't know what to say.
I understand.
I didn't know. I still don't know.
I know. Neither do I. And I feel like the older I get, the less I can sort of put labels on myself. Like, I don't know. There's like an East-West battle going on. Like a Western. The way that I see it now is like there's this Western need to achieve and to produce and to acquire, and then there's this Eastern part of me that I feel like I just want to learn, I want to observe, I want to be still, I want to be quiet. But there's like a real battle, especially in LA, because I think people are, they're drawn to nature, they're drawn to yoga, they're drawn to, you know, hiking and being physical. But then there's like, so what are you working on now?
Oh yeah. It's just kind of it's tough. But then the sadder thing is you get accustomed to it.
For sure.
Because you start it, and then not saying you fully turn into them, but in a way you kind of do, because you're kind of infected by that energy.
You kind of dive into it and you start swimming in the current.
You have to adapt or something. Yeah.
I mean, I was guilty of it. That's why I came out here. I wanted to, I wanted to do something special.
Yeah.
I wanted to be special.
So what, yeah, so what led you to, I want to talk about the conventions, because you're, like, yeah. There's conventions, I mean, you have, like loyal fans that come out, and let's talk about, like, some of the, like, when you started doing that.
Well, I've told this story a million times, okay. But it's just, it kind of encapsulates the what it is to me, okay? Mm-hmm. So, I had barely acted, then I did Angel. Then I moved on to Firefly, and I got into the science fiction world.
Yeah.
The sci-fi fantasy world.
I love it.
I didn't know anything about it. I hadn't really, I mean, I watched Star Trek The Next Generation. People always ask me, you know, what, you love sci-fi. Well, I mean, I've seen some sci-fi, but really if you looked at my DVD collection, you would see a majority of, you know, like corsets and wigs. Mm-hmm. That's what I like. And so when Joss tried to explain to me what conventions were, I couldn't really, I mean, I'd heard of maybe Trekkies before. Mm-hmm. But I thought that was it. I didn't know that there was anything else to it. I didn't know what cosplay was, or LARPing, or any of those things that have now become quite close to me. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So he said, we got to get this cast into conventions. Mm-hmm. So I think what happened was we got invited to do a convention in England, and I didn't even have a passport.
So you've never been?
No.
Oh.
So I got my passport. I had barely been on an airplane before I moved to Los Angeles. I drove to LA.
What the hell?
I mean, I wanted to drive back, but I stayed, and then this happened to me, and I got the passport, and we flew to London, or what, maybe it was outside somewhere in England. Mm-hmm. And we got into a Buffy convention, because Buffy, you know, Buffy's a
Vampire
huge.
Slayer. Yeah.
Yes. Oh. And it turned out that people knew our show. We had a ton of fans in England.
Which show?
For Firefly.
Firefly fans. Mm-hmm. In England.
Which is still hard to say. Firefly fans.
Firefly fans.
And they came, and they loved our show, and they dressed up, and they... And so I was introduced to this world of love and devotion. And the coolest thing about these fans
is
that
crazy.
They will keep watching your stuff. Even when you know,
when it's done?
Grey's Anatomy. Yes, they'll rewatch the show because it's like a part of
their life.
They'll keep following you. They love their actors. And they'll keep following their actors onto different shows. Whoa. So it's a very supportive world. Yeah. And that led to a lot of other opportunities for me. I'm so grateful.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
What does that make you feel like when there's fans that know, like, so much about you? Like, almost too much. Where they start geeking out.
It's pretty
And they look at
intense.
You with googly eyes. They're like, I can't believe you're here. So, you know, they start
Some
geeking out.
Some people get emotional. And you realize it's not about you. Like, it's not about me. It's about something that I was a part of that mm-hmm. matters to them and made an impression or really struck them. A lot of people will say things like, you know, I was going through a really bad time in my life, or I was very sick and I was in the hospital and I watched that show over and over again.
Wow.
So when they're looking at you, they're connecting to something that's really meaningful. And
yeah,
and,
they're familiar with you.
Yeah, they feel like they know you.
And you bring comfort into their lives.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and I've had those things, so... I it's such an honor, and you just hope that you say the right thing, and that each person who comes and, you know, waits to you know, come up and talk to you, you just hope that each person walks away feeling not let down.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's the reality
yeah.
of it.
Yeah. Well, like, you're aware of that. Like, I'm sure there's a lot of actors and actresses that are, like, kind of, like, not, they don't have that mindset. They're probably like, oh my God,
oh no.
I want to just get through this. But you're like, you're present and you appreciate them.
I do
the
try.
Fans.
I really try. There have been a few times where I've had some, I've broken down and really disappointed myself in my performance. But you really do want to, like one guy, he came up to me and it was after a particularly long day
mm-hmm.
and he would not tell me his name.
Why?
Because he wanted me to remember it. And I had met, you know, so many people, and I literally broke down and cried.
Wait, there at the convention?
Yeah, right there in front of everybody.
Wait, on the panel?
It wasn't on stage. It was, oh. You know, people come up and they meet you. They want you to sign their you know, their box set. Or,
yeah.
You know, maybe it's something else. But he was challenging me.
Yeah, it's okay. Hey, Summer, you're only human. You
know? I couldn't remember.
You're a human. You can't. Well, she's a cyborg too. She's a Terminator. But you can't please them all.
But that's part of the process.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What was it like being on Arrow, and are you a fan of the comics? Look at Craig's face. Like, he looked at you,
Craig,
stern.
Can we still be friends if I tell you, if I get real?
Be real. That's what this is why you're here. Be honest as you.
I can't keep the DC Marvel worlds separate, and I don't know who's who.
Fair enough.
I'm not a comic person, although I will say...
I don't know much about it, you know.
Really?
No, I don't. I mean, some of my friends are, they know. Like, yeah. I looked at that. Well, I was thinking about, like, Dave. You know, Dave knows because he's an artist and he grew up with comics.
There's so much.
He'd go to the comic book store. He knew different editions. You know, what superheroes are with who. And I don't know. Spider-Man. Yeah, I don't know.
There's different Superman, editions. There's different
Green Lantern,
iterations. Like different, you know. It's so.
Yeah.
It's been around for. I know. 60 years.
I know. All right, Craig. Well, don't go judging us.
Sorry, Craig.
That's a lot to research.
Yeah, it's a lot to research.
It is. And you know, in my defense, I did research my character on Arrow, and they didn't do. They went a different direction.
Mm-hmm,
I said,
mm-hmm.
Can I wear the gas mask, and can I wear the veil, and can mm-hmm. I have a Russian accent? And they were like, a no. We're gonna go in a different direction.
Wow.
They were making it new and so
yeah.
In that case it didn't matter.
Right. If there's any aspiring actors and actresses that watch this, what do you have
Don't
any like tips or words of encouragement to give to them? Like, what do you like, what could help them along their journey, you think?
Okay, so if I could go back and talk to my younger self,
yeah,
I would say read more books.
Okay.
Which I know sounds kind of counterintuitive because I loved movies growing up. I loved TV.
Me too.
And I think that helped me, but I wish that I had worked on developing more of my own interests and passions.
Mm-hmm.
I think too that there, at least this was my experience, because there were really fewer things on. You kind of needed to pick a category of type that you were.
Right.
And I did not fit into a type. You know, I kept auditioning for these, you know, high school roles, you know, young co-ed roles, and I didn't know anything about that. I didn't go to school. I didn't know anything about that. But I tried, you know, I tried to fit in. And I think now I wouldn't have tried to do that, because it turned out that when the right role comes around, that role will find you. So just
you believe
be
that?
Yourself. Oh, yes.
It will find you?
I believe that. You have to keep going on auditions. Go in. Expose your heart and soul over and over again, because that's what I think acting is.
It's a lot of letdown,
you,
huh?
Yes. And you have to be vulnerable. You have to be able to be vulnerable in the room. Keep putting yourself out there. Don't try to second guess what they want too much, because there's so many of us out here.
Right.
When the right role comes around, like it did for me,
mm-hmm.
Then you'll break in, and breaking in is mm-hmm. the hardest part.
Breaking into the entertainment.
To cast you.
All right.
Because what would happen to me was I would keep getting to the very end of these auditions, and then the casting directors would say, "You seem like a really good actor, but I don't see any credits on your resume. So come back when you've got credits." Well,
how are you supposed to
get credits
if you don't get hired? Like, that's kind
right.
of like, that's like a double-edged sword. Like,
and I think it might have changed since then.
Right. Like, but how are you supposed? I'm trying to get booked here so I can
exactly.
add it onto my resume. Like,
give
what are
me
you
a chance.
Talking about?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I would say, be yourself, keep developing your personal interests so that you're an interesting person,
mm-hmm.
because, you know, that I think will really help.
That resonates with them, right?
I think so.
Well, they could see other sides of you.
Right.
You know?
Right.
So...
I think so. I wish that I'd been more interesting. I wish that I hadn't worried too much about boys liking me or finding, you know.
Right.
I think I also got pretty tripped up, just to be totally honest, when I started getting more known and getting more exposed, that people were really, really hard on my looks.
What do you mean by that?
People were cruel about the way that I looked. And because the roles that I was playing were not focused on that, I felt some kind of obligation to be more palatable.
Well, you can't control your looks that much. I mean, that's what God gave. Like, how are you supposed to control your genetics?
I don't know. In LA, it seems like a lot of people do control their looks, if you know what I mean. So,
you know.
Anyway, that's a whole other thing read that and try not to get tripped up on that. If I could go back to my, you know, in my 20s,
yeah,
I'd say, please, just throw that away, because you have so much work to do becoming a more interesting person and
a person
following things that interest you. But you know, when you're young,
yeah.
So that's another piece of advice that I would give.
And then thick skin.
Is
that important, just to grow a thicker skin?
You know, I think it's kind of a dual thing. When you're an actor, you do have to kind of be sensitive. Mm. It's important that you can be empathetic and sensitive. So I think that's kind of a superpower, if you can go into the room and you can really expose yourself and take risks and make mistakes, because those are the magical moments. And then when you leave the room, you take the sides, and I've seen a lot of cool actors do it. They take the sides and they find the nearest trash can, they drop it, and they move on like it never happened.
So that's detachment,
I guess. So
yeah, because you can only, once you do it, you have no control.
Exactly.
You have to cut it.
Yeah, you say thank you.
You have no control over the results.
I release you. Yes.
So the main thing with anything in life that you do, you show up.
Yes.
That's the most important thing. You show up, do the best you can do, then you cut and go, all right, I'm going to live my life now.
Exactly. I think I'm getting better at that with age. Yeah.
Or else you're going to be a prisoner of your own mind. And your mind could torture you.
And it
tortures me.
Yes.
What are you laughing at, Craig? But no, I'm being real. I'm not that you show up, do the best you can do, then you cut, and you just go along your way.
Yes, and not obsess.
You don't obsess about the results. You have no control over the results.
Oh,
it's out of your hands.
That's right.
That goes for anything. A job interview. If you want to be a barista down the street at the coffee shop, you fill out your application and that's it. You leave.
Yes. Right? And there's so many reasons why someone might get something over you in that moment. And
yeah,
to be able to stop the ruminating and the reliving is
But you
really
seem
valuable.
To do, you had it. I mean, your mental and emotional state must have been calm, because for you to book all that stuff, like, you must have had some kind of calmness where you're kind of accepting of the results. If you didn't get it, you'd still be okay, right? Like,
well, you'd book, I guess technically
other things too. Yeah,
I'm trying not to be so self-conscious. I think it's a more evolved way to be in life. Actors, I think, are naturally a little bit like,
Self
into themselves,
like self-absorbed or self-contained, or maybe even like self-bondage, because they're always looking at themselves. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God, am I good? You know, but it's like, I think the trick is just to cut that. It's important to do that.
Yeah.
Because life's too short, man. You know,
it is so short, and there's so many cool things to do and learn. And
What's this? I don't like when people do that. That means wrap it up. Wrap it up. So what's in the future for some, like, what are you working on now? And then, like, where could people, do you have a website or, like, project? Like, where could people, like, get a hold, like, see your stuff?
Okay, well.
Or, like, if you're at a convention, how do they find any of this out? Like, your website?
That's a good question. Yeah. Somebody just told me the other day that there's a website now that's just devoted to following actors doing their appearances at conventions.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish I knew I shouldn't have brought this up, because I don't even know the details of the website. But anyway.
How about this? Once you find that out, we could put it in the description of the
awesome
of the okay. video.
Great. And that way you can follow people. But I don't have any social media.
You're not on Instagram?
No. I have my own little tiny Instagram that I keep private. And I've thought about being on Instagram. I've thought about it because I've actually learned a lot from following people on Instagram
I
don't follow a lot of like industry people. I follow gardeners and like rosarians and my kind of stuff,
crazy.
Like stuff that I'm into. So I really love Instagram for that. But then I thought, I just don't know if I'm ready to take that on myself. But I'm considering it. Like it?
No.
Oh God.
What'd you use?
But it's like for me, it's a necessity.
You kind of have to.
I have to, because I'm like, I have to promote the pot, this, or no one will know I'm here.
Right.
You know, like, or else, you know, it was like, mm-hmm. back then it was MySpace. Now mm-hmm. MySpace turned to this. And it's almost kind of like never ending, but I have to do it.
Never ending.
You don't necessarily have to, you know what I'm saying? Like, but I have to do it. Or else no one will know this exists.
Are you disciplined with yourself about when you post and what you post? What time of day you
do
it?
It's like clockwork to me. I mean, I don't do it enough. I hate posting. I do it when I have to.
Oh.
You know, it's like, it's almost kind of like, oh God, it's, I hate it. I have to do it. Mm-hmm. I'm not excited about it. But it's like a necessity. It's like if I don't have it, no one will know this is here. Like no one will know any of this. Like
no.
But with that being said, do you have any projects you're working on?
Oh well, right now I'm recording a really interesting project. It's an audio series.
Really?
It's called Alternus, and it's on this. It's part of this group of audio projects on Serial Box. Cool. So. I thought it was awesome because I can shoot it from Texas. You know, I'm not really working full time right now. I'm staying home with my girls so this is a really fun way for me to get out and sort of get in another world and then mm-hmm. go back home. And it's really fun for actors because I'm, you know, they hired me to narrate it, but
that's
I'm
amazing.
Playing all these different characters.
Yeah. And you could do it in Texas.
Yes.
So really how do people find this?
So you just go to serialbox.com and it's already airing.
Can you spell that out? Like
serialbox.com. And the project is Alternus, Alternis. Alternus. Yes. And it's a really cool, it's sort of a sci-fi fantasy.
Amazing.
The main character creates she builds a virtual reality world
mm-hmm.
and then she finds herself inside of it.
Yeah,
and all the characters that come.
That's all of our future. In 10 years, we'll all be
that's
doing
what
that.
Val thinks. He thinks we might already be a simulation. And he sometimes says, which I think is romantic, he says, what does he say? He says, I'm so happy to be in this simulation with you. I'm like, that's kind of scary, but I love you.
What a romantic guy. Val's handsome.
He's so handsome.
You got to keep her.
He's so good with the girls, right?
He's a natural.
He's amazing.
Gold teeth. Before I forget, that information, relay that to Craig. And then I'm going to put, because I want people to know where to look at that. And then on the description box, and even on the Audio Boom and the YouTube, we'll put that on there. So
okay,
they could see.
That'd be great.
So they could tune in.
That'd be helpful. Thank you.
Dude, another pound for showing
thank
up.
Thank you.
So honored to have you.
Thank
amazing.
You.
Thanks, Craig.
Thanks, Craigie.
Wait, hold up. Do your thing.
We love you, Craigie.
Okay.
Yeah.
So we have a Patreon attached to the show. Go to patreon.com/StevieWeeby if you want to, you know, support the show and the podcast. StevieWeebyBandcamp.com is where I have my music. Instagram/QUANGOU is, you know, my Instagram for the show and my personal Instagram. We have a P.O. Box series called Stevie's P.O. Box. If you want to send packages... Send your packages to 1425 North Cherokee Avenue, P.O. Box 1391, L.A., California, 90093. What else am I missing? Ooh, another shout out to our newest sponsor, Scent Bird.com. Use the code Stevie for 50% off your first month today. You get so many different kinds of perfumes and colognes that you could choose from on a monthly basis. And now it's time for Little Ray's World.
Welcome to Little Ray's World Show. All I gotta say is kids' minds must grow. I got abducted by some aliens dropped in snow. Whoa. Stuck into a world that I do not know. So join me in adventures now. And I promise not to have a cow. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey. My name is Little Ray. Hey, hey, hey. So welcome to my world. To all the boys and girls.
Welcome to Little Ray's World. Hee-haw!
What the hell do we got here this week, Beep? Looks like a goddamn starter cat, man. Hello? Is anyone there? Well, that could have been the wind, but I think I know what you just said, man. You used to be a man named Seth Salerno. Burger, is that correct? And so you had a rare condition where you started shrinking just like that movie. What's that movie, Beep? Benjamin Button there. But instead of shrinking into a little baby, you shrunk into a little baseball cap. Is that correct, man? Well, that is so, so sad, my man. But guess what? I ain't gonna wear you because I love me some cowboy hats. Not baseball caps, but me and Beep will leave you alone. Instead, we wrote a song about you, partner. It goes like this. This one's about a starter cap, ladies and gentlemen, so listen up. What is that a starter cap can barter that a martyr back when he was a human that shrunk into a little scrap? Just like Benjamin Button, this oven is a truck of light, turned to stone alone, zapped into a little scone. Now he is a baseball cap, smaller than an evil bat. Why couldn't you come back as a purry sweet old cat? Man, I didn't mean to clap, I think a starter cap is bad. Join us in about 2 weeks for another episode of Little Ray's World, man. And make sure you go to StevieWeebyBandcamp.com and get some of that fresh music, man. Let's get her done and see you later, man.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed's sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/kidsandfamily. Just go to Indeed.com/kidsandfamily right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Discover the life-changing benefits of Meow Greens for your cat. Ever see your cat slowing down or having health issues and wonder, what can I do to make them better? Well, my friend, add Meow Greens to your cat's food for 90 days, and I guarantee you'll see changes that will amaze you. Greetings, I'm naturopathic Dr. Dennis Black, inventor of Meow Greens, and I invite you to take the Meow Greens 90-Day Challenge. In the first 30 days, you'll see shinier coats and increased energy. By day 60, your cat will have a stronger immune system, less shedding, improved joint function, all due to the live nutrients that you've added to their diet. And at 90 days, they're going to have better digestion, reduced inflammation, improved heart health, and you may even have reduced their cancer risk. Fetch a free Jumpstart trial bag for your cat today. Go to TryMeowGreens.com. Use promo code TRYMEOW. That's try M-E-O-W. You discover the shipping. You don't have to change your cat's food to improve your cat's health. Just add a packet of Meow Greens.